You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who's currently vacating and will return before you know it, and she misses you. I'm here today. I'm here with my sweet, sweet Cal B. He's behind the boards doing the ones and twos. Everyone say hello to Calvin, the board lord. You can hear him. They're saying it right now.
I should have like a whispering hello sound effect or something.
Or just get Adele, hello, or various hellos. Lionel Richie, hello. They all just say hello. Well, we say hello to Cal for being, and we thank you for being here today. We have a packed, super packed show for you this morning at 9:35. The host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, will be here. We're going to be talking about a topic that I'm going to be discussing through the first half hour of the show, and it has to do with healthcare, it has to do with rural hospitals, it has to do with healthcare costs, and what we're going to be seeing over the next year or two because of the big bill for billionaire, as well as what our actual working senator in Wisconsin is doing to try to help those who get their coverage through the marketplace, through the Affordable Care Act. We're going to be talking about that. And then with Pat Kreitlow, we're going to break it down a little bit more, including how $50 billion apparently is chump change. It's not enough. It won't do the work it needs to do. But if you want to find out why that $50 billion isn't going to do it, you got to stick around because he'll be here at 9:35. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're broadcasting from this very moment in Radio Park in Racine. And then at 10:06 on the schedule, we have the chief operating officer of Native Public Media. His name is Brian Wadsworth. And we're going to talk to him, and we're going to extend the conversation that we had with Robert Pilot and Kate Riley about the closure for the closure of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. It's going on. It's being shut down. It's no longer receiving funding. Their funding has been zeroed out because of the big bill for billionaire. Donald Trump wants to get rid of it because it's woke, it's ideology, it's indoctrination. So there are going to be stations that suffer, and one of the biggest groups of those who are going to be harmed by this are tribal stations. And Brian is from Native Public Media, and we're going to talk about not only what the closure will do for Native stations around the country, including the one right here in Wisconsin, WOBJ, but also the handshake deal they made with a South Dakota senator to save it. Spoiler alert, calls are not being returned. So 10:06 is when he'll be here after the top of the hour news in the second hour. 10:35, we can call it an audio sorbet. We can call it an audio gripe. I don't know. I want to go over something. Calvin, I don't know if you know this, but one of our Tizbats, one of our This Shouldn't Be a Thing segments, made it to the big time, made it all the way up to the Senate. People are talking about it. There are visuals. And we want to give credit to a upstart senator named, what's his name here? I got it written down here. So John Kennedy for bringing this to light to people. So we started it and we handed the baton off to this person who we pay to do work. And there will be more discussion about that. But in the 10:35 and then finally at 10:52, it is This Shouldn't Be a Thing, a brand new one. We do it every day here on the show, 10:52. We close out the show, you know, bring in the light, bring in the fun. Today it is Casper's Dream Car Edition. And you want to stick around for that one because it'll make you smile. So yeah, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, 10:52. But it's going to be a great show. If you want to get in touch with us, it's very simple. It's very easy. All you have to do is call or text. It's the same number. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter in this house. You can also get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. Calvin, what happens if someone doesn't have the Civic Media app? What should they do? Should they just give up, throw their phone into the nearest body of water and just walk away?
Well, they shouldn't do that, but okay, they should start off by seriously reconsidering their life choices up to this point.
Yeah, I would say if you don't have the app, what are you doing?
After that, once you've reassessed your life, mm-hmm, then you can go to the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, depending on what mobile phone you have, and download the Civic Media app. for free.
Dang. When you're in there, what can you do? Can you, like, you know, play video games? Can you, you know, find recipes? What can you do in the Civic Media app?
Yeah, I'm announcing it here right now. The exclusive Civic Media mobile game. I don't know what it contains yet, but you heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly. Be on the lookout for the release in 2020.
Yeah, that is, will come maybe sometime.
Okay.
But no, you can text, you can call, you can leave a voice note, mm-hmm. and you can listen to any Civic Media station that you would like.
That's right. You can listen to us across the state. You can listen to any show across the state anywhere in the world. And I say that because we've gotten text messages from people via the app in Germany, Vienna, New Zealand, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. I mean, come on. That's worldwide coverage right there. So get the free Civic Media app in your life. And that way you can also take part in the text to win contest like Free Ticket Friday that's coming up this Friday. We'll be giving away entering your name to get you to win a 4-pack of tickets, club level tickets to see the Brewers play. But you have to have the Civic Media app to participate. So get that on your device, get it in your life. As Calvin says, reassess your life choices, and we walk together towards fun, frivolity, and information like this. So I said a moment ago that we're going to talk about this for a little while, and I want to get into this because, you know, I'd say, you know, whether we're talking about Wisconsin or we're talking about the nation, I think if you're going to discuss top three concerns that really kind of bind us as a citizenry, as a people, as a community, kind of regardless of who you voted for, healthcare is probably up there. It's always going to be in the top three. And it seems as if, and this should be no shock to anyone, that because of the industry, because of the way that the healthcare industry lobbies, the way we receive our healthcare through employers and not through a single payer system, not through a nationalized healthcare program, we pay our costs and those costs go up. And I wanted to share some really quick information for you. In 2023, the what's called the NHE, National Healthcare Expenditures, grew 7.5%, which comes to $4.9 trillion with a T, T as in toy, $1 trillion in 2023. Medicare spending grew 8.1% to a little less than $1 billion, and Medicaid spending grew $871.7 billion. That's about 7.9%. I'm telling you all this because if you are lucky enough to have your healthcare through an employer, our healthcare is going to go up. That is just a fact of life. That is what is going to happen. It's what always is going to happen. And that is not easy for us to deal with. It's going to go up probably about 6%. That's what they're saying according to the facts that I'm looking at, which, by the way, all these facts and figures will be in the show notes today. I've got a lot of information, a lot of rundowns. But a group of people whose healthcare will go up even more. And I'd like to hear from all of you. If you know, how are you dealing with your healthcare costs going up? I feel like you just kind of have to deal with it and move on. But as we've seen in stories and we've talked to people, individuals who have to pay for their healthcare have to then start negotiating what else they can pay for. Can they pay rent this month? Can they pay for groceries? Can they pay for back to school supplies? What are you doing to mitigate these rising costs? And I want to bring up the folks who are on the marketplace, who take part in the Affordable Care Act. According to a new analysis published on August the 6th by the Peterson Center on Healthcare, found that health insurance marketplace insurers will propose a medium premium increase of, wait for it, 18% for 2026. So if you are a folks who are not on the ACA, you're going to see an increase. They're saying around 6.5%. That's a lot. But if you are on the marketplace, you can see increases anywhere between 15 to 18% based on preliminary findings. This proposal more than doubles last year's 7% median proposed increase. This information, by the way, comes from the American Hospital Association. This will also be in the show notes. And if you're not on the ACA, you might not know that there are there are tax credits available called their premium tax credits for those who have their insurance on the ACA. And those are looking to sunset at the end of the year. So your health care would be going up if you're on the ACA. On top of that, your tax credits will go away, which would skyrocket those premiums for those people who have to take part in the Affordable Care Act. They may or may not be able to afford it. And that comes back to the discussion point of what can I afford this month? Can I afford healthcare? Can I afford groceries? Can I afford rent? Can I afford childcare? Luckily, we have one senator in this state. I'd like to just say, Calvin, that we just have one senator, but I can't legally because it's not true. We have two, but we have one who is working for us, for the people, regardless of who we voted for. Senator Baldwin, Tammy Baldwin, our junior senator, and I hate having to call her that because that just feels way disrespectful because she's a senior and amazing. Junior and amazing Senator Tammy Baldwin. In the Wisconsin Examiner, Eric Gunn with the byline, Baldwin's legislation would extend tax credits that cut Affordable Care Act insurance costs because these tax credits help mitigate the costs of this insurance gotten through the Affordable Care Act. These tax credits will lower the cost of premiums with folks who have incomes up to 400% of the federal poverty guideline. These premium tax credits were supercharged in part far greater saving, will impart far greater savings to people buying insurance through the marketplace. And these tax credits from 2022 are looking to sunset this year. This is all in the article in the Wisconsin Examiner by Eric Gunn. I'm going to put that also in the show notes. These tax breaks in save more than these tax breaks help more than 230,000 Wisconsinites save an average of $500 a month, every single month, not a year, a month on their premium. And to quote Senator Baldwin, not extending these tax breaks and jacking up costs on the open market will crush families, but also small businesses who, last time I checked, Calvin, every politician says small businesses are the backbone of this country. So if you are going to strip away tax credits that do not allow them to afford health care, this is going to hurt small businesses, families, individuals, and luckily Senator Baldwin, along with another senator whose name is, I apologize, escaping me at the Gene Shaheen from New Hampshire. They're both introducing this legislation that makes the enhanced tax credits permanent in place of a lower tax credit that will resume when the enhanced tax credits expire. So a lower tax credit will exist, but they want to make the current one permanent because that's what you do for working families, for individuals, for businesses, when you believe that these, the middle class, the working class, are the backbone, the heartbeat of this country. We're going to talk more about this, especially the fact that there are Republicans who love this, but they ain't talking about it. So if you want to talk more with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We're talking healthcare costs, and the one senator doing something about it. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is vacating, but will be back before you know it. I'm here for the rest of the week, and we're happy that you are with us. We have the board lord, Calvin Butenhoff, on the ones and twos. And we are here to take your calls and your texts, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you'd like. We're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. We're talking about the fact that healthcare costs will go up. Dadoy, we all know that. It's always going up. They're always going to go up. But there is one group of individuals who will see their healthcare costs go up quite a bit, and that is those who are participating in the Affordable Care Act, those who are on the marketplace. And not only will their costs go up anywhere between 15 to 18%, they're going to possibly see their tax credits lowered or who knows, even gotten rid of eventually someday. But there's going to be a tax credit that's going to be lowered from where it is right now that saves at least Wisconsinites an average of $500 a month. That's according to Tammy Baldwin, who, along with Senator Jean Shaheen of New Hampshire, have introduced legislation to make these enhanced tax credits permanent before they expire on December the 31st. I figure if we can give billionaires and multimillionaires these permanent tax credits that will allow them to become trillionaires, I mean, we should be able to give folks a tax credit to afford healthcare, right? We're America, right? That's kind of what we do here. We help people. I say with a question mark at the end there, dot, 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 question mark.
You see, Greg, we would help them, yeah. But it's just waste, fraud, and abuse.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I messed up there. I thought we were a country of kind people and helpful people. And at the very least, I will say this too. Like, I don't mean to take the emotion out of it or not speak from a point of we need to help people. We do. I think we have a real, you know, it's an investment. It's a promise. You know, we pay our tax dollars. Our government should take care of us to a certain extent. But also, folks who are on healthcare, folks who have access to healthcare, folks who can stay healthy, produce, work, live longer. Folks who want to get rid of these tax credits usually are on one side of the aisle, the ones who love the big bill for billionaires. They want a country populated by people, and folks who can't get health care have a very difficult time staying healthy then. If they can't go to the doctor, things happen. If they can't afford to go to the doctor, they're just going to exercise other options, and I don't know what they are. I am fortunate, personally, myself, if I've been without health insurance, it isn't because it was unaffordable. It's just because I was younger and I was like, I'll live forever. But I have health insurance and I'm lucky, very lucky. To further the point, Cassandra on the live stream says people that can't afford health insurance go without it. They go to the ER for care and sometimes can pay the bill, which will rise with less insured people if they require extensive care due to illness or injury, ICU, extended hospitalization, rehab, etc., and they can't pay, the hospital will eventually eat the cost. This affects wages, healthcare costs, you name it. And that's the other thing, too. From a purely economical point, it makes sense for people to have affordable healthcare. It makes sense to have healthcare that is not only affordable, but is widespread, that actually covers things. Because it is an investment in the people to stay healthy, so they can work and contribute to the economy. And then that economy contribution and those positive workers come back to us in the form of various things like the ability to make money, the ability to buy things, all sorts of things. This, from a purely economical standpoint, it just makes sense to have better healthcare in a country, especially like, you know, America. And I wanted to read for you really quick. And by the way, we're going to bring Pat on in a little bit after the bottom of the hour news break. We're going to talk more about this, but we're also going to talk about another aspect of the big bill for billionaires, and is the fact that they think $50 billion is enough to save, help rural folks and rural hospitals. I'll give you a spoiler. It's not, but we'll talk more about that with Pat in a little bit. This coming from Georgetownpoverty.org. They are an organization out of Washington, D.C. This is a report entitled, "What's at stake if Congress lets the enhanced ACA premium tax credits expire?" And it's not very long. It will be in the show notes, but I want to focus on a graph. States that will states by amount, by percentages, the number of people projected to lose health insurance if enhanced PTCs, premium tax credits, expire, they vary by state. Calvin, if you could take a guess, the first top 15, who do you think they voted for in the election?
Donald Trump.
Yeah. In fact, it was 16, actually the top 16. And the top percentage is Mississippi. 43% could lose health insurance. 43% of people in Mississippi who have the ACA could lose their health insurance because of these enhanced PTCs not being extended or not being made permanent. The nationwide average, about 16%, Wisconsin's 8%. and of Wisconsin, where 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of the 10 states have yet to expand our Medicare coverage through the ACA. We have been kicking and screaming that since it came down the pike because Robin Voss says, nope, it's a handout. Well, you're wrong, and apparently you don't like people, Robin. I said it. But that is what we're looking at right here. People in Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, Georgia, Louisiana, Arkansas, Ohio, Texas, Idaho, Kansas, Indiana, Florida, Kentucky, Iowa, Michigan, all of them are the top ones who are going to lose anywhere between 18 to 43% healthcare coverage for those who are on the ACA. Ted on the live stream says, medical expenses are the most common cause of personal bankruptcy. We live in America. That's right, guys. We live in America where you can go bankrupt trying to pay your hospital bill. Luckily, Senator Baldwin's on the case. We thank her, and we're going to talk more with Pat Kreitlow after the news coming up. Don't go anywhere. Let us know your thoughts. Call, text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to hear from you folks. Thank you so much. Stay tuned. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating somewhere, and she'll be back before you know it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always do that by calling or texting. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Coming up in the second hour at 10:06, we have Brian Wadsworth, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Native Public Media, talking about not only the closure of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, what it will do to tribal stations around the country, including WOBJ, which is our only native station here in Wisconsin, but also a handshake deal made with a South Dakota senator that's not getting phone calls returned. And we want to get an update, so we're going to talk to Brian about that at 10:06. And of course, we have audio sorbet-ish, maybe? I don't know. We're going to talk about a U.S. senator who's brought one of our This Shouldn't Be a Things all the way to Capitol Hill and made us famous. We're getting no money. And This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:52. Casper's Dream Car Edition. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. Stay close. And get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. He is here every other Tuesday at 9:35 or 9:36 and a half because I talk a lot. But he is the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. He is my true buddy, my true friend, the captain of this yacht of rock, Mr. Aww. Pat Kreitlow. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. I am great, thank you. It's quite overcast here in the Chippewa Valley this morning, but yesterday was so glorious mm-hmm. with the sunshine and yeah. that south wind that it has lingered into today like a weather hangover. It is still it's still a beautiful summer morning here in Wisconsin, even when it really isn't.
Yeah. I mean, time marches on. The days are getting shorter, the air is getting cooler.
I know, but Brittany promised, you know, back to the 80s for a couple of days here coming up. And I got to live off of something, and I live off of a lot of Brittany Merlot promises. The weather's going to get better than that. Stop whining, old man. Trust me.
She's become more aggressive in recent days.
I might have put words in her mouth, yeah, but I'm sure she was thinking it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Pat, we were talking about this earlier. Healthcare cost is going up. It always goes up regardless of where you get your healthcare. And luckily for me personally, I don't know about you, but my healthcare comes from my wife's plan from her job. It will go up, but it will go up an amount we can afford. It's going to, you know, it'll make a dent, but we can still afford it. Those who are on the Affordable Care Act will see their healthcare costs go up quite a bit. In fact, more than double than what my wife would see. Senator Tammy Baldwin, along with Senator Shaheen of New Hampshire, have put together a bill that will make permanent the premium tax credits that help folks on the ACA because they're due to expire at the end of the year. And I don't know if you will be surprised by this, but in the article that I was referencing in the Wisconsin Examiner, there are Republicans who are in favor of this, who like this, but I can't report upon this. Quote, there are in the Senate Republicans who have quietly indicated they want to extend the tax breaks to make these tax credits permanent or more affordable. I don't have a count to tell you we have enough, but I'm encouraged by the conversations I'm having. That's great that the conversations are happening and there's encouragement. But the fact that Republicans are not standing up saying, no, we need to do this because X, Y, and Z, you know, just being a good country and helping people and businesses too.
There's a reason for this. There's a reason for the Republican support, and we need to take people all the way back to when the earth cooled. Long before the Affordable Care Act was passed, before it was nicknamed Obamacare with derision by some folks, admiration by other folks, before it was ever even introduced, what we now know as the Affordable Care Act was, I have a secret to tell people, it was a Republican idea. It came from a conservative think tank. I know, I'm hearing people's minds right now going,
pow! Is this breaking news?
No, it's not. And I don't know why more Democrats don't make a bigger thing about this.
Yeah.
The alternative was, you know, single payer, government run health care, Medicare for all, whatever you want to call it. That was what people were starting to clamor for in the 1990s when healthcare costs were starting to explode. But then some Democrats, we'll call them moderate Democrats, looked at something that came out of a conservative think tank and said, okay, here's a different option. Instead of single payer government run health insurance, why don't we maintain the private insurance market? But why don't we, as the government, help people afford private coverage so that you still have the marketplace, you still have private companies engaged in competition, allegedly, and we just provide the premium supports to people so that they can get health insurance. And when Democrats in 2010 said, you know what, we got to do something, let's do that. But because Barack Obama and Democrats liked it, it was suddenly Obamacare, this abomination, et cetera, et cetera. But these Republicans you just alluded to, they know that this is still at its heart a way that you maintain a private insurance system, but you just help Americans afford their health insurance. And they see nothing wrong with that because, again, it keeps the market and doesn't get us into single payer government run health insurance. If more Republicans would simply think like the free market proponents they claim to be, they would see that this is a good thing. They don't, because there are people like Ron Johnson and others that don't believe government should be doing anything to help anybody afford something. And if you need to go to your, you know, your feudal lord or whatever to get special favors and count on the benevolence of billionaires, that's fine by them. That's the world they're looking for. But that's the reason why. There's still Republicans who remember that at its heart, this is a conservative idea for healthcare reform.
And also, you know, from the implementation of the ACA, it was never easy for folks who were actually on it. I remember working for a company at the time that got our health insurance through a group that helped small businesses get group healthcare through the ACA. And we changed healthcare three times in so many years because there was no incentive for doctors to be a part of it either. And they could just, if they weren't part of, if they were a private practitioner and they were not located directly at a hospital that took it, they could throw you, they could be like, I don't want that anymore. And then you're out. Then you got to go find it again. And it's not easy when you're an individual doing it. It's certainly not easy when you are a business doing it as well. And you would think, Pat, As we've seen through the ACA, we have not seen the healthcare system crumble. We have not seen it fall to the feet of socialist medicine. It has kept going, and it is not the best version because it's very hard for people. It's very expensive. It's going to become more expensive if this bill doesn't go through. And you know, I'm going to leave this up to you. And I think it's either it can be the most long-winded answer because it can be nuanced and we can talk about it for hours, or you worked in government, you were an elected official. And I'm going to ask this question from PJ in the live stream. Why don't we have Medicare for all?
And that's what so many other developed countries, every other developed nation has figured out some variation of public health care, whether it's a public option or just, you know, single payer government run coverage. The doctors are maybe independent contractors or they're government employees, again, depending on the model. We are the only country that has said, you know what we ought to do for healthcare? Let's leave people at the tender mercies of profit motives of corporations, huh? Isn't that a great idea? And there are enough people that say, oh yeah, that's how it's supposed to work in capitalism. And there are just some things that are not supposed to be left to the whims of the market. For example, the things that would keep us alive, like healthcare, which is why every other country has some version of this. Now, they may go the other way. They may start with a base of, you know, single payer healthcare, but then they provide opportunities for competition for private healthcare plans. And we could have done the same, something similar with the Affordable Care Act. We could have maintained the private companies that are out there with premium support. And we could have included what was known as a public option, where people could say, well, I've looked at all of these for-profit corporations, what they want to charge me, but I actually think the better thing for me would be to choose Medicare. You know, I'm only in my 30s or whatever, but there's a public option to buy into Medicare and or Medicaid. I'm going to do that. And the only reason we do not have it isn't because of Republicans. It's because of a Democrat, Joe Lieberman, senator from Connecticut, who on behalf of the insurance companies fought tooth and nail. Senate Democrats had no margins to work with, no wiggle room, and had to eventually drop the public option in order to get his vote for the Affordable Care Act. So that's the long way of saying we should be at some kind of a Medicare for all, either for everybody or as a public option. But politics is the reason we're not there yet.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we're speaking to Pat Kreitlow, who's host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, which is on Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about healthcare costs. We're talking about healthcare coverage. We're talking about options. And something that Tony brought up on the live stream, he said, I wonder how those states will figure out how to blame Democrats for losing coverage. And that is in reference to the study that I referenced from Georgetown Poverty that showed a figure showing the percentage of people currently on the ACA who will lose healthcare coverage if these tax credits are not extended and they can't afford it. And the top being Mississippi at 43%. And the first 16 of those states are all states that voted for Trump. And you're right. It will never be his fault. It will never be the Republicans' fault. At best, it will be their congressman's fault. They'll boo them, but they won't boo Trump. And the way you describe it, Pat, the way you talk about that brief moment and that brief history lesson you gave us, and I thank you, what I hear is these politicians put the profits of private business and their own interests over the growth of the country. And I'm even talking about people like, oh, I'll pay into Medicare. Mm-hmm. I'll pay into directly to the government, not this middleman thing. I'll pay for Medicare. I'll do that. That's easier. And also, as we've seen in reports, the, quote, bureaucracy of Medicare and Medicaid is a lot simpler than private insurance.
Very
much. Paperwork, the administrative costs and timelines. So the fact that Joe Lieberman and others were able to say no to that was them saying, we're going to say no to a major investment from the people in government because I really like my job.
And the correct way to look at this and, you know, how they're going to turn around and blame Democrats, it's quite simple. They continue to undermine it. The Republicans, continue to provide cuts in premium supports. They continue to shrink the window to sign up in the Affordable Care Act marketplace. And it's that way with everything. It's with public transportation. It's with public education, public health. Basically, anything with public in it is their view is starve it and then say, this isn't working, and give them more reason to cut it further or to privatize it or to end it.
I thought we were talking about healthcare, not education. Boom, roasted. There it is. We're going to keep the conversation on this going with Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. He will be here talking to you, talking to us, and we're going to keep it tied to how the big bill for billionaires, which is partly influencing this problem, is also going to make it that $50 billion isn't what it used to be anymore when we're talking about the rural areas. Don't go anywhere. We're on Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close, stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently resting, relaxing, vacating, and she'll be back before you know it. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still to come in the second hour at 10:06, we're talking to Brian Wadsworth. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Native Public Media, and we'll be discussing the cuts to public broadcasting, how it affects tribal stations, and a handshake deal with a South Dakota senator. So don't go anywhere. We got Audio Sorbet at 10:35, and of course, this shouldn't be a thing at 10:52. And not to mention, my guest is Pat Kreitlow this morning on a lovely, lovely overcast Tuesday. It's nice and cool and crisp. It's still baseball weather, if you tell me that, Pat. I'm still believing that it's baseball weather.
Of course, because we got postseason hopes that are alive and well. Brewers could clinch a playoff spot yet today. That magic number is down to 2.
I purposely not talked about that number because it makes me sick to my stomach.
October baseball is going to be a thing here. So, yeah, this weather gets me in the mood for it.
And if you want to listen to the Brewers play the Texas Rangers, the broadcast starts at 6:30 tonight. You can listen to it on terrestrial radio on Civic Media. We are your Brewers radio network. You can listen to us on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, as well as Park Falls, that's WCQM, right here in Racine, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, and our newest Brewers affiliate, WBZH in Hayward. So if you want to listen to some baseball action and you want to listen to it on the radio, because radio baseball is amazing, you can do that by getting on terrestrial, traditional radio. Can't do it through the app, but you can listen to it right here at Civic Media. Pat Kreitlow, of course, is our guest for the rest of the hour here. And we were talking about the cost of healthcare, the cost for regular, like, not regular folks. I'm sorry. That's not for folks who get
regular it through, or unleaded.
Yeah. There you go. Now I got leaded gas, baby. No, folks who get it through the traditional way through the workplace, or folks who get it through the ACA, the differentials in cost. Senator Baldwin, along with New Hampshire Senator Shaheen, putting together legislation to help those on the ACA still be able to afford this, and the fact that Republicans, while support it, are not speaking up about it. And this leads me, when I heard this, it just leads me, Pat, to this thought of you voted, the Republicans who voted for the budget, the big bill for billionaires, however you want to call it, that's FCC compliant here on the show. They voted for it, and then immediately had to go out into the community and talk about what they were going to do to combat it. And the first thing I think about is the fact that Derek Van Orden, you know, that guy, congressman of your biggest fan, woo, you and Dan Schaefer, as soon as he voted for the third time for the big bill for billionaires to finally make it go through and it's complete and done, it's taken effect, some now, some at the beginning of 2027, immediately getting in touch with Tony Evers saying, you need to save our hospitals. Well, sir, you didn't do your part. And there is, to be fair, there is $50 billion set aside to fund rural hospitals over the next 10 years, I believe. But almost everyone who, economists who are talking about are saying this is not enough because it's $150 billion over 10 years that's being taken away. So they're giving them one third of that to say, yeah, you're fine.
Here, narrator, they will not be fine. Yeah. they will not be. And this $50 billion rural health fund that was set up was cobbled together at the very last moment to try to make sure that a few rural Republicans signed on. Do you know what policy looks like when it's cobbled together in the last minute to just twist the arms of a few elected officials? Yeah, it's not real good.
No.
It gives so much power to, of all people, Dr. Oz, head of the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and puts a lot of that funding at his discretion, meaning it's also at Donald Trump's discretion. You know, the king will decide whether your rural hospital will get this funding that you need to stay alive or not. Yeah. And he will make that announcement through his emissary. Dr. Oz, Donald Trump will make this announcement through Dr. Oz. Try to make that part of your policy debate back in 2010 when we were talking about healthcare reform. If I'd have told you that's how the setup was going to be, that rural healthcare lives or dies off of Donald Trump's feelings as communicated through a TV doctor.
Yeah.
You just said I was crazy. Welcome to crazy, boys and girls.
Well, and that's what I think too, is like, he's going to get on a podium and say, before I talk about this $50 billion investment, or as they put on the website, the Committee on Finance from the Senate, the Rural Health Transformation Program through the One Big Beautiful Bill makes the single largest investment in rural healthcare since Medicare modernization of 2023. Before Dr. Oz says any of that, he's also going to say, do you suffer from weight gain, weight loss, saggy drawers, saggy top? Take these vitamins, Dr. Oz's vitamins. They're Ozalicious and tasty, and they're good for you. And we don't know if they do anything, but they're Oz-fantastic.
And you can buy it with Trump currency available now.
Yeah, Trump bucks. Mm-hmm. And looking through the internet for information, I came across a website called healthcaredive.com. It says a $50 billion rural healthcare fund was negotiated with hospitals. Experts are split on whether it will help them at all. I mean, it will help for a moment, and then the money will run out, and then they have to go crawling back for more money. And they'll say, well, just drive farther.
Right, because, again, the one thing that works in conservatives' favor is that we're a big country with a whole lot of people, and as a consequence, everything has a big price tag attached to it, so it sounds huge. When you say something costs $1 billion, that we're going to give them, or $50 billion, but when you're covering that many people across an entire country, it's actually not that big. No. But they just scare you with the number and go, see, we're going to cut, or we're going to add this much. There's so much more detail to it, and we're missing that in the translation here.
Listening, Derek Van Orden, are you? Cool. Well, Pat Kreitlow has been my guest this Tuesday, this morning. We're very happy to have you. Listen to the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Monday through Friday. Pat, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time, friend.
Thank you. Thank you. See you later.
All right. When we come back, we're talking to Brian Wadsworth of Native Public Media about the effects of the closure for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting on tribal stations. But go get a snack. Come back after the news. Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.